Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Pulling on Heaven podcast. We have a show for you. I am excited.
Pastor, that reminds me of VeggieTales.
I was thinking the same thing. Should we sing?
VeggieTales.
If you like to. Sorry.
I don't know.
I think that's all we get without copyright infringement.
And we were both in different verses anyway.
And I wasn't even on pitch, so we can't be in trouble for ripping off their melody either. How are you?
I'm doing great. We're smiling. It's not
we
what
are happy
about.
To be here. We are so happy to be here. I'm so happy to be here. And I'm actually genuinely excited to talk about what we're going to be talking about today, and which is the kingdom of God, but also relates to some things we've been talking about. If you've been watching at all in any kind of order, I don't know how consistently these show in order, but we, for the last four or so episodes, we were talking about sin.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. Everyone really liked that. We got a lot of mail. I'm just making
like
that
it. No, we did. We liked it.
No, it was a fantastic conversation about sin and about, most importantly, how to be free from it. Yeah. And that he made us free from it. So that's pretty awesome.
And we're getting good reports. That's a good thing.
We're getting fantastic reports. And so if you're watching that, and if you've been around following the ministry for any length of time, you know, that's something that we talk about a lot. Pastor used to talk about it even more. And then another subject, if you've been around much, that you know that we talk about a lot, is about our freedom in Christ from spiritual warfare, from Satan, from attacks of the enemy, and this mindset that, you know, we have to fight and overcome the devil. And that's been a big part of what this ministry is. And you know, we were talking about earlier today about the ideas like that's kind of, in some ways, if you were to say Gary Zamora, you know, he's the anti-devil sin-free guy, right? And the great irony is that's not really the message that God gave you. That's the message that you got to get through to get to where we need to go, right?
It's just kind of taking off the old cloaks and, you know, the old identity of who Jesus saved you from being, and just believe in God. The focus in my heart of the ministry God has entrusted to me is to get people's eyes focused back on God, solely who He is, who Christ in us is, who Jesus is, what He did. It's really freedom in the cross. It's really all about the cross, the power of the cross, the finished work of Christ. I believe with every fiber of my being, I just believe that Christ was more than enough, that He finished it, and we get to walk in the blessing that remains. You know, we're not the leftovers; we're those who remain. You know, we stand affirmed in Christ and with the right mind of Christ in us, and focused, having our mind set like a flint on Christ, and understanding the kingdom of God. Then we don't have to wrestle with a lot of the things we wrestle with, because it is finished means a lot to me. John 19:30 means a great, great deal to me, and I know it does a lot of people. It is finished. Whom the Son has made free is free indeed. And I've talked about this a lot, maybe just a bit of an introduction. A long time ago, I had the, you know, I'm only human, I'm imperfect, you have to, you know, better constantly be repenting from sin, because you're going to sin every day and all that. And it just, you know, and you're going to have to fight the devil. And when you do anything good for God, new level, new devil, you know, anything obedient, if you start moving forward, you know you're doing right if the devil's attacking you. And I'm like, okay, you know, I bought into all of it, because I just, you know, I'm a young Christian and just newly born again, and I'm listening to all the teaching, theology, and I believed into it. Now, I'm not saying everybody taught that, but I heard it pretty consistent, and I believed in it. And to me, later it became be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, some people have good intentions, but the doctrine is just a little bit broken, because it becomes more about who we are and where we've been and throes we have. And everybody, I get it, everybody deals with things. People have challenging times. You know, everybody walks through challenging times. We're not denying that. We're just saying there's a better way than the approach we've had in a lot of different regards to being free from the devil, and to how would we fight against evil, and you know, I've just found that screaming at the dark just didn't make the room any brighter. It was just more about turning the light on. And God spoke to me a long time ago We were ministering, we were teaching, we were in a series of meetings, and the Lord opened my eyes to a revelation, and He said this to me, because I was, we struggle against sin, that's what we do, it's hard to serve God, all that weighty, burdensome Christianity that I was taught, you know, and I believed it. And when you're facing certain trials and challenging times, it looks right.
Yeah, it seems to confirm it.
Yeah, it must be right, because I'm certainly struggling, and sure seems like the devil's trying to stop me at every turn. So I bought into it. Then realized that there was really a different approach that was a whole lot more productive, a lot more restful, and a lot more successful, a lot more fruit-bearing fields that we could plow in and plant in. And the Lord said this to me one day when I was studying. He said, David couldn't build my house, not because he didn't have the resources, not because he didn't have the heart to do so, but he couldn't because I told him not to. And the reason I told him not to is I told him he had shed too much blood. He was a man of warfare, that he fought too much and shed too much blood. So he would not build my house. And the Lord further began to reveal to me, but his son Solomon was prophesied. And the prophetic word about Solomon was, but the man that's going to build the house that is in your house, his name is Solomon, and he will be a man of rest. And God said, I will give him rest on every side. He will have neither, this is Old King James Version, he will have neither adversary nor evil occurrent. And he will build my house.
Right.
The reason he's going to build my house is he's not so involved in fighting, but he's involved in my rest, and I'm going to give it to him. And God did. God gave Solomon rest. The word says Solomon stood up one day and declared the life he was living was a prophetic life. He said, God has given me rest on every hand, and because I'm not fighting, I'm going to be able to build in the kingdom that God has called me to build in. And today it's the kingdom of God. I'm going to be able to build. And he did. He built the temple of the Lord. He built the house of God. And it's the same thing through us and with us. And I saw that and went, wait a minute. I think I am trying to duplicate what Christ already did on the cross. I think I'm trying to overcome sin and fight an enemy that if I just believe in Christ, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You know, someone, the enemies could come at me 1,000 different ways, but they would flee the same, you know, come at me one way and flee 1,000, come at me one way and flee 7, come at me and be divided. There, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for God is with me. And so the message that I've carried for a very long time about being more than conquerors and the freedom we have in Christ, the message was to get us to where we need to be. And that is free from religious dialogue that really isn't what the Word confirms is true, but more of what we're trying to do to be right, and to stop fighting something we don't have to fight, something we were never called to fight. The victory is mine, says God. I'll fight the battle for you. You know, when we speak the word and we declare the word of Christ, just like Jesus said, go, gone, over, done, finito, finished. We move forward in the nature of who Christ in us is, and darkness can't live in the light. You know, sin can't abide in the righteousness of God. And the message isn't really about overcoming sin and overcoming and not having to fight evil. The message is really about where we need to be so we can see what we need to see.
Yeah.
And that's the kingdom of God. The message isn't really about spiritual warfare. It really isn't about, you know, you can conquer your sin. The message is really about what Christ did and what we need to know, how we need to be looking, what we need to be looking for, so we can see the kingdom of God emerge in the earth, just like Jesus said. He said, what would I liken the kingdom of God to? And he, what would I compare it to, Jesus said? He said, I'll compare it to someone sowing a mustard seed in the earth. Now, that's how Jesus compared it. Okay, a mustard seed, a small little seed, the smallest of seeds, as it's referred to in the Bible, and yet becomes the largest in the garden, the largest plant or the tree in the garden. And the two references are very important. It's a seed, and it's planted in the earth, and that's how he referenced the kingdom of God. And through Matthew, we find one of the probably the largest or longest parabolic discourses about the kingdom, where Jesus is talking one
after another,
after another, just declaring how the kingdom of God is with us in the earth, what it's likened to a man looking for a pearl. And so the focus really isn't on stop sinning.
Yeah.
You're free from sin, or stop fighting a devil that is already defeated. Walk in the fruitfulness of Christ. It really is about focus on the kingdom.
Yeah.
Focus on the power of the cross. You know, finished work of the cross. How many times do we hear that? You know, it is finished. Again, John 19:30. It's really about knowing what the kingdom is. You know what? You can find anything. Anything that is available, you can find it if you know only two things. One, what it looks like. Two, where it is. You can find it.
Mm-hmm.
If you just know what it looks like and you know where it is, you can find it. The kingdom of God. What does it look like? Well, one scripture says it looks like peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Okay, just on that scripture, on the basis of that one scripture, it's peaceful, it's joyful, it's the elements of the righteousness of God. Okay, that's what it looks like. Love, kindness, meekness, gentleness, wisdom of God, the love of God, the glory of God, the righteousness of God. That's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. So we know that one element.
Yeah.
We know what it looks like. Where is it? Jesus said, in the earth. He said, the kingdom of God is at hand. And what did he tell us to do about it? He said, seek it. In order to find it, though, we need to know what it looks like, and we need to know where it is.
Yeah.
It looks like Jesus, the King of Kings. So how does the kingdom, you know, the word says the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is in the midst of you, or it is within you.
Mm-hmm.
And some theologians, some scholars, they have two different takes. Some say in the midst means Jesus was there in the midst of them. And it's true. Some say it is within you. So which one is true? They're both true. He's in their midst. But how does he get on the inside of us? Well, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Sovereign Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He said, I'll make my dwelling in you. So if the king comes into a vessel, the kingdom is in the vessel because the king is there. That's how the kingdom is within us. And that's really the focus.
Yeah.
He didn't tell us to wait for the kingdom.
Mm-mm.
He didn't say, wait until you're rescued. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. And the word seek first the kingdom is reference to a diligent looking for something that is present with expectation of finding it. Jesus didn't tell us to seek for something that we were going to die and never find. He said, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is within you. And so it's difficult to get to that point when we're saying it's so hard to serve God, or I don't feel like talking to you right now, or I don't feel like listening to you right now, you know, or I've got to fight this devil and demon that's attacking me because I'm doing the will of the Father. No, Jesus took care of that for you. So the battle is mine, says God. He says, I've redeemed you from death, hell, and the grave. I've freed you from sin. Trust in me. So where we really should be engaged today in our day and age, what should we be thinking about? What should we be looking for? What should we know? We should know what the kingdom of God looks like. That's what we should set our mind on. Seek first the kingdom of God. Why? The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is at hand. And that word at hand literally means in our grasp. It's here. It's to be had. It's within you. And if we set our attention on seeking, we will find. He said, seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened. Ask and it shall be given. He didn't tell us wait. He said, seek. And a lot of times we're waiting. We're just waiting for things to change, waiting until we overcome that devil attack or that demonic, attack that we're having to war against. And where that can be devastating a lot of times is God does things in our lives. Remember, he is sovereign Lord. He is king. There isn't anything that can happen outside of his authority. God is Lord over all. And I've said it before, either he doesn't know, he doesn't care, or he's Lord over it all. And the first two, they don't apply. He's Lord over it all. He does love, he does know, and he does care. And we have to realize that if God is with me and all things work together for good, as the scriptures say, am I sometimes rebuking God and calling the hand of God the devil because I don't know what the kingdom looks like?
Yeah.
James said it like this. He said, count it all joy when you fall into different types of the trying of your faith, turbulent times where your faith has to be called. He said, count it all joy, knowing that this is for your benefit. So you can become steadfast, firm in the faith in who Christ is, not because you fought a battle and you're about to win or you're about to be overcome and you need help, you know, calling the cavalry. No, go back to cavalry. But what he's saying is count it all joy because the trying of your faith makes you complete, sound, steadfast. So you're entirely complete in Christ and you're lacking nothing. You know you're not. Those are kingdom principles. And that's why it's important to kind of fix some of the broken theology that keeps us bound to the way we used to be and bound to fighting a battle that Jesus already overcame. And it also keeps us from rebuking the hand of God, calling it the devil just because we don't like the way it feels, because it doesn't look right, because it seems challenging. And God is really saying, hey, Peter, you can walk on the water. Hey, David, you can stand and just throw a stone. The battle is mine. David said, God has given me this victory.
Yeah.
He walked in victory. I said this many, many times. David didn't overcome Goliath because he fought well. He overcame him because he believed well. Yeah. And we need to stand on the same ground. It's a greater witness. It's more fruitful. It's more productive. We spend a lot less time wrestling and fighting and contending like David did. And we can see the house and the kingdom of God rise up out of the earth, just like Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is at hand. We're here because God wants to do a work here.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world. He so loved his creation. He so loved his people, the creation, mankind, that he gave his only begotten son. We need to start looking more for the kingdom instead of another battle. Look more for the kingdom and the answers instead of another excuse or another question.
Yeah.
And let God be God in and through us and praise him for all he's delivered us from.
Yeah.
That's why the message of freedom, I call it, is so important to me. So we know what to look for. I'm not looking for another devil. I'm not looking for another excuse. I'm not going to look for a reason that I'm weak and incapable. I'm looking for the kingdom of God that is all authority and all power all the time. And guess what? God has planted us as seeds in the earth to bear much fruit. And Jesus said, that's how the Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. If we will look there, life becomes a lot easier, a lot lighter, a lot more joyful, a lot more peaceful, a lot more powerful, a lot more productive. And I believe people live a lot longer and live a lot longer in joy and peace and the conviction of the Spirit of God working in us instead of an enemy or a sin fighting against us.
Wow, that's such good stuff. You know, when I first started learning about all this, it seemed like, you know, as we've mentioned most of the time, when we first started learning about this, I don't know what any of you think. I debated him. I tried to go through scripture and prove him wrong, or what's this, what's that, what's this? And that process radically changed my life. It gave me a whole new appreciation of scripture and also just what you sowed to help me to understand and to believe differently. But I remember, so at first I fought it, but then once I started to understand, I started to grasp it. To me, it was like, okay, this is the pinnacle of belief and faith. This is like meat. You know, this is the meat that, you know, Paul talks about. You know, don't give them milk anymore, give them meat. And it's funny, the more mature, or at least older, I don't know if I get any more mature, but the older I get, you know, I realize, as you know, hence the genesis of this discussion, that's not meat at all. That's the milk. We have to get past that. Jesus died on the cross to be the gateway to go into this new land, you know, and we actually stay at the cross. We stay at the fight. We stay at the battle. We stay at the wrestling and the struggle. And I think that's why so much of your ministry, and you know, you always have to keep on coming back to it, because that is the thing that actually keeps us from metaphorically building the house of the Lord. You know, we're now his temples, but we can't be the full temple if we think there's anything to still contend with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's like being afraid to approach the king because you feel so unworthy.
Yeah.
And in ourselves, of course, we all know that we are and were, but in Christ we're not. And that's it. And it, this double-mindedness has to stop. At some point we have to stop. You know, the victory is mine. God's given me the victory, but we fight, you know. I'm free from sin, but yet I'm still a sinner, you know. I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit, but, and it's not by works, but it's so hard to serve God. You know, listen to what we're saying.
Yeah.
All this contradiction.
And I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation, but I'm actually not.
Yeah, exactly. And Paul said, don't do that. He said, if you're double-minded, you're not going to receive what God has for you. Not because he doesn't want you to, but because you're resisting it through doubt and unbelief. You're talking two different doctrines here. Either Christ is everything or he's not. Either he finished it or he didn't. Either he was enough or he wasn't. Either he rose or he didn't. I believe he is enough. I believe he laid his life down. I believe he took it up. And I believe he's given us that same life and that same power. And if we will see that that way, then a lot of our lives, a lot of the struggle that we deal with will go away.
Yeah.
It will absolutely evaporate. Not saying there won't be any challenges. There are always challenges. But listen to what Peter said about it. He didn't say go out and rebuke and fight and talk about how unworthy you are. And he said, count it joy. This is here so you stand strong, firm in the faith in who Christ is. So you are complete and entire, and you realize you don't lack anything. And then you can bear witness to the fullness of who Christ in us is. That's a kingdom mind. That's the kingdom of God that we're talking about. And that's what freedom is. You know, freedom from sin and Satan is elementary. It's,
yeah.
It's, you know, 101. It's where we begin.
Yeah, and not where we end.
Not where we end. No. And then where do we go from here?
Yeah.
What Jesus said, all these things you've seen me do, you'll do, and greater things than these. We have to break through the barrier of it wasn't enough. There's still work to be done and contradicting of, you know, it's finished, but not quite. And the victory is God's, but not really. And the battle is the Lord's, not mine, but kind of mine. And I'm redeemed, but, you know, still not clean. And, you know, are we washed clean? You're clean through the word I've spoken to you, Jesus said. So we just have to step on one side of the fence or the other. And the bottom line is we have to stop straddling that fence and straddling that line so we can run the race and finish the course. You know, you can't win a race if you keep zigzagging and go, well, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that, or, you know, I've got to stop and do this. It's got to stop and do that. You know, cast off every weight and every burden every sin that so easily besets you, and run the race, finish the course, get the prize. Christ is it.
We were talking earlier about, you know, the idea that we so point to God and go, look what's so screwed up with the world. Why aren't you doing something about it? And it's like he's looking back at us going, no, it's your guy's fault.
What are you doing?
He empowered the church to be something, but we've yet to truly walk in it because we're stuck back over here still dealing with all these things that he set us free from for the purposes of seeing his kingdom flourish in the earth.
Yeah, that's what it's about, seeing his kingdom flourish. Where's the kingdom of God? What does it look like? Looks like peace and joy and righteousness, love, confidence, salvation, redemption, freedom. Looks like Jesus. Looks like the king of the kingdom. And where is it? Jesus said, how would I explain where it is? They said, well, show us the kingdom. He said, the kingdom doesn't come with observation. You can't say, lo, here it is, or look over there, there it is. He said, it doesn't come that way. He said, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He was talking about himself. And then he said, the kingdom of God is within you. I'm going to make my dwelling in you. I and my Father will dwell in you, and I will be your God. You'll be my people. I'll reign and rule with you, in you and through you, and of him, through him, and to him are all things. So, you know, we're really talking about doing what first commandment is, have no other God before him. And that means us. Love the Lord our God with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, and bless the Lord at all times. Let his praise continually be in our mouths. Wow. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Right? I see that there's a lot going on with what you've been sharing prophetically about these new seasons God's walking us into and this new expansion, a new unveiling of the kingdom. And I think that the reason that that can begin to happen is the people of faith walking away from where we've been stuck for so long.
There's an awakening. There really is. I know that's an old term, but there is an awakening. People are waking up from their slumber. You know, their indoctrinated slumber into the light of, hey, look out. I didn't know we were this free. There's a great awakening. You're going to hear a lot of talk and a lot of revelation about the kingdom of God because it's emerging from the earth. You're going to hear a lot of kingdom of God. You know, the kingdom of God is at hand. God is moving on the hearts of people that are hungry, people of all walks of life, all different ages. There is a great awakening in the earth. God has plowed the soil of the earth so that seed that is sown in there can begin to germinate and grow. And just like Jesus said, what would I liken it to? How about a mustard seed that's thrown in the field? A man went and sowed seed in the earth and it sprung up, and a man sowed seed and tares came up and wheat came up. You know, it's okay that the wheat and the tares grow together, Jesus said. Just let it, just do what I've called you to do. Be who I've called you to be. And don't be so afraid. Don't be so mindful of all the wars and the rumors of wars that you hear. Now, we pray for all the people to be, to God to do his wonder, to do his work. And, you know, we're certainly not advocates of going out and killing people and fighting and wars, but we are an advocate of the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in the last days, and it's been throughout history, so we've been kind of in the last days for a long time. He said there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not, for the Lord your God is with you. Bear the fruit. If the tares are all around you, just grow, and God will take care of the tares. He'll take care of the thorns. He'll take care of it. You know, just know who you are and in whom you have believed. And, you know, if whatever it is God wants you to do, he'll put before you and you'll be able to see it if you're not looking at things you shouldn't be looking at and talking about things that really aren't relevant in your life when you're born of God and free through the blood of the Lamb and made alive through the resurrection of who Christ in us is.
Yeah, that's the glorious bride.
That's the bride. Bride doesn't look beat up, haggard, tired, you know. You just imagine going, getting your bride, and she looks like she's been run through the ringer and drugged through a swamp and plowed over with a plow in the field. And you got, here it is. No, we're not beaten down.
There's actually an interesting point to that too, because you think about it, you know, well, Jesus would come back for that. But if you were the bride, if you were somebody that you felt that you were appearing to someone that you wanted to have relationship with, and you were so self-conscious of your own shortcomings,
would you want to show up?
You're not going to give yourself as freely and engaged.
Well, remember Jesus, there's a parable and he talks about a wedding feast, and he said, and they called and some people didn't want to come. They were busy doing this and they're busy doing that. And he called and finally got some people to go out in the highways and the byways, just compel anyone that will. And that's what the word is. Anyone that will. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've been through, what you've experienced. God knows. He knows. He knew before. He knows. He understands. And he loves you so much, he will take you away. He will take you out, but just accept it, you know, accept it. But then he says that a guy showed up or a person showed up and they weren't in a wedding gown. They weren't prepared. They weren't adorned for a wedding. Maybe they came in, you know, like they'd just been plowing the field or, you know, out of a boxing match or something. And he said, you can't enter the kingdom because you're not really prepared for the kingdom. You're not dressed the way a bridegroom or guests should be dressed. Let's make sure we're dressing like Jesus. Let's say, make sure we're dressing in the righteous mind of God. We're humble in the presence of the Lord because of his glory and his grace and his goodness. And let's stop talking about being in a hole. You know, I believe if you or I were in a hole, we fell in a manhole. We couldn't get out. You know,
I know someone who literally fell in a manhole walking on.
That's a rough fall, you know. It's not the fall, right? It's the sudden stop. But it's, you know, if somebody, God said, I can send you one of two people. I'm going to send you somebody that gets it. They've fallen in a manhole. They know what it feels like. And we're going to sit down. They're going to understand everything you're saying. And they're going to sit there and they're just going to weep with you. And they will know what you've been through. They're going to know what you've been through. And I'm going to send that guy, and he's going to sit down, and he's got a great ear for listening. He's a great listener.
You'll be comforted.
And you will be comforted. you're going to know that he knows and understands. Or I can just send a guy that doesn't really care, but he'll send you down a ladder. Which one would you choose?
Right.
And sometimes we just want that consoler. We want someone that just knows and understands and can make us feel better in our time of pain. And I get that. Everyone likes to be consoled. I'd rather have the latter. Maybe he doesn't care as much, but he threw me what I needed, a way to get out of where I am. Mm-hmm. Jesus has given us a ladder. He's thrown us down a rope. Let's climb out and let's stay on top and do what God has called us to do. You can't do much in a manhole, but you can do a whole lot if you're out. And I'd rather have the guy with the ladder than the guy that understands.
Yeah.
Jesus understands, but he sent us a way out.
Yeah. He's given us that opportunity to build the house of the Lord that he gave Solomon.
Be busy about your father's business.
And are we doing it, or are we going back and saying, if Solomon had said, you know what, my father didn't do that. And not only do I think my father didn't do that, I'm just trusting the Lord who told me that my father did and took care of it. So I got to go rewin the kingdom all over again.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why the world looks the way it does, I think, today. Yeah. That's why the kingdom is not manifested in a way where we become the largest tree in the garden, offering shade to everyone. Birds come from all over and flock. We're supposed to be that refuge for the world.
Exactly.
And we look at a world that's messed up and say it's their fault or it's God's fault or whatever, but we're the ones that are supposed to offer the solace.
It doesn't work. It didn't work in the garden, you know. It wasn't very productive to blame the serpent or Adam to blame God and his wife. And, you know, it just didn't turn out very well because, you know, that's the problem with that mind of, you know, I'm just going to continue. I'm only human. I'm going to fight. And there's no repentance because it's not, you know, repent daily, but there's no changing of the mind.
Yeah.
There's no real turnaround. And then people also, if it's always an evil force fighting against us, some devil, demon, or whatever, then we really don't have to take responsibility because it's not really our doings.
But Jesus, I don't need to be nice to you because maybe the devil's using you.
Yeah, exactly. Or can you look in the furnace and instead of seeing the flame, can you see God?
Yeah.
Can you walk in the flame and have only what binds you fall off and walk in the glory of God so people around you say, he didn't go in there and fight a devil. He walked in the flames of a king who was fiercely angry with him, tried to destroy him, and not a hair on his head was singed. And the glory of God was on him. And when he came out, the king said, this guy serves the true and living God. He knows what it is to be free, without bondage, without being bound, and without the flames destroying him. This person knows the true and living God. And what was their testimony before they went? Our God is able, and our God will deliver us. But it doesn't make any difference. We won't be slow to answer. We will not bow down and serve your God. Let's not serve the God of the past. Let's serve the God of the future. Let's serve Christ in full confidence that if Christ be for us, no one or nothing can be against us.
No one. Oh, man. Awesome word, Pastor. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
Until next time, have a good one.